The good news according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
We're going to make this complicated this morning. So, women, please read the part of all disciples in italicized and underlined print. And men, please read the part of Jesus in bold print. And then I'm going to read everything. Are we ready? John 11. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, this last portion of Lent here is the season for long gospel readings, I think. You know, years ago, 4 friends and I loaded into a car and drove from Pacific Lutheran University in Tacoma to Hoquiam, Washington. Not a pleasant trip. We were headed to a funeral home to view the body of our friend, Mike. While working for Burlington Northern, building a railroad bridge over a ravine in the Cascades, the Washington Cascades, Mike slipped and fell to his death. He was 22 years old. He'd just graduated from college. the first person ever to do so in his family. At Hoquiam High School, Mike was an honors graduate. He was the president of his senior class. He was a three-sport athlete and the Scholar Athlete Award recipient his senior year. In college, he was an all-conference football player. His dad didn't make it past the eighth grade. You can imagine how proud they were of Mike. But Mike was dead. We arrived at the funeral home after normal business hours, and they let us in anyway and ushered us into the viewing area. And there was Mike in a box, visible from about the waist up. I don't remember what he was wearing, but I remember his face. It looked like Mike, and yet not quite the same. We'd played football together. We'd been on the Gong Show together. We hung out with the same people. We shared a lot of experiences and a lot of friends. Mike was hilarious, a big guy with an oversized personality. And I stood over him staring. And then I reached down and I grabbed his hand, and it startled me. His hand was cold, stone cold. Mike was the first dead person I'd ever seen. But touching his hand, I finally got it. I understood. Mike was dead. And he wasn't coming back. There's a finality to death that can't be denied. It's jarring and often ugly and usually very sad. And on the surface, anyway, completely and thoroughly permanent. And yet earlier this morning, we read the infamous prophecy from Ezekiel about dead, dry bones being brought back to life. And then even more shocking, I guess, we read the historical account of dead Lazarus being brought back to life. That wasn't a prophecy, that was an actual event. Plenty of witnesses were there to see it. And it had immediate ramifications. The Sanhedrin, the ruling council of Israel in the first century, responded by making plans to murder Lazarus and then crucify Jesus. Because after Jesus raised Lazarus, they were afraid of Jesus' influence and power. They did crucify Jesus, of course, within weeks after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And the crucifixion of Jesus is one of the best documented events of ancient history. The raising of Lazarus is part of that story. There's no question that Jesus was crucified. And there's no question either that Jesus actually raised Lazarus from the dead. So the question is, dead is dead, isn't it? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. How did it happen that Lazarus was raised up and restored to life? You'll notice that the passage about Lazarus that we just read starts at John 11, verse 17. But if we'd started earlier in John chapter 11, we would have read in verse 3 that Mary and Martha contacted Jesus when Lazarus was just ill. He had not died yet. But Jesus made the decision to not respond immediately to Mary and Martha's request for help. And then finally, in verse 14 and 15, Jesus said to his disciples, "Lazarus has died, And for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there, in order that you may believe. So this whole episode, you could say, was a setup. Jesus allowed Lazarus to die in order to go and resurrect him and demonstrate again his power over death. You know, of course, that raises the possibility that God allows things to happen in your life that appear to be tragic, but God uses them for your eventual good, as promised in Romans 8:28. But back to the story. By the time Jesus and his entourage arrived in the little town of Bethany, Lazarus had been in the grave 4 days. Jesus arrived too late, much, much too late. Lazarus was dead, his body already decayed, and he wasn't coming back. You know, I mentioned, I think, fairly recently, a Bible study I participated in some years ago. And we had a discussion one night. A friend of mine described the process of salvation this way. He said, I imagine sin to be a great chasm, like the Grand Canyon. And this chasm of sin separates us from God. There's a tightrope stretched across this canyon. And I come halfway across, and God comes halfway across from the other side. And he rescues me in the middle. Now, if that's true that we meet God halfway when it comes to eternal life, when it comes to being saved from death, can you imagine Jesus saving Lazarus, resurrecting Lazarus from the grave? Lazarus was as dead as my buddy Mike. In fact, he was more dead than my buddy Mike. Mike was freshened up thanks to the wonders of modern mortuary science. But not Lazarus. Maybe he was sprinkled with a little perfume. But other than that, he was wrapped in cloths and rotting away. So can you imagine Jesus shouting, Lazarus, can you hear me? Have you done your part yet? You got one shot here, buddy, and I don't want you to blow it. So focus in, Lazarus. Focus in. Work with me. This is what I need you to do, buddy. That's not how Jesus raised Lazarus. Dead people don't follow instructions, for one thing. Jesus raised Lazarus by simply pronouncing him alive, which only God can do. Come out, Lazarus. In other words, I say you're alive, Lazarus, so come out. The wonderful thing here is that Jesus does all the work in our salvation. We don't meet him halfway. He comes all the way over to you and rescues you. That's what he did for Lazarus. And that's what he did for you on the cross. Earlier we read Romans 8, where the first verse says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation in this context means death. There is no death for you who've received the free gifts of forgiveness and faith in Christ. That's what it says. You receive those gifts of forgiveness and faith in Christ in different ways. Through his word, certainly, and through his sacraments, baptism, and communion. You don't earn those gifts, you receive them. So take a look at verse 2 in Romans 8. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. In other words, the Holy Spirit has introduced something new within you, a desire to please God. That's not to say that the pull towards self-centered sin is going away. That's not to say you aren't going to sin, because you are. Read Romans 7. Paul said, I do not do the thing I want to do, but the very thing I hate, that's what I keep on doing. Paul had a sin problem, just like you, just like me. But the good news is that you're forgiven by God, who loves you and accepts you. You're not condemned to death. You've been freed from death, just like Lazarus. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. That includes even you. So relax and rest. Let gratitude and humility and peace wash over you. You're forgiven by God, redeemed by God, loved beyond what you can imagine by God. It's going to be okay, Mary and Martha. Lazarus will live. Mike's mom and dad, you'll see him again. For all of us who mourn, it's going to be okay. In fact, it's going to be much, much better than just okay. You can be sure of it, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's God's forgiveness and acceptance and salvation. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this unspeakable gift that you have given us, of forgiveness. Lord, help us to just receive it and be filled with gratitude and humility. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.